Krishna Ananda Kumara. One day Krishna Ananda Kumara. Nanda Kumara o Mohana Rupa. Nanda Kumara o Mohana Rupa. Mohana Rupa Madana Gopal. Mohana Rupa Madana Gopal. Govinda Hare Gopal.
Chapter 7. The Bewilderment of Lord Brahma. The Killing of Vatsasura. Upon reaching Vrindavan, the coward men formed a temporary settlement. Using their hundreds of bullock carts, they made a boundary wall in the shape of a half circle, Chatikar, extending from Kaliadaha on the bank of the Kalindi to Govardhan Hill, and north to the region of Nandishvara. At that time, Nanda Maharaja's capital of Nandishvara and all its good qualities had not yet manifested. As fire can merge within fire, and water can merge within water, similarly, the transcendental qualities of Nanda's old capital of Mahavana entered into the temporary new capital at Chatikar. Since the wealth of these two cities was one in all respects, then how can I separately describe the wealth of Vrindavan? The varieties of exotic birds singing and flying about there increase the enchantment of Vrindavan. Deer and other animals roam throughout the richly foliated forests. The banks of the Yamuna glistened attractively, and the gorgeous Govardhan Hill added a unique touch of majestic charm. Seeing the natural and abundant beauty of Vrindavan delighted the hearts of all Nanda's followers. When Brajaraj Nanda entered his private quarters, Upananda, Sunanda, and other respected leaders entered their homes. The cows relaxed in their goshalas, and the florists, pan sellers, merchants went into their shops. The Brajabasis could not conceive that everything had happened perfectly by the will of the Lord. Beginning with the Pulindas, aborigines, all the people in Vrindavan felt blissful just by performing their usual domestic duties. As the cows enjoyed the plentiful supply of fresh sweet grass, they soon forgot all about the pastures of Mahavana. Without their knowledge, the Brajabasis had inherited the storehouse of Kuvera's wealth and the 8 jewels of mystic perfection. Concealing his unlimited opulence, Aishwarya, Krishna continued to perform his amazing pastimes in the role of an innocent child. Sometimes, due to unavoidable circumstances, Krishna revealed his hidden opulences. After living in Chatikar for some time, Krishna displayed his pastime of tending cows. Although he had many gopas to care for his 9 lakhs of cows, the king of Vrindavan had to yield to the repeated requests of his mischievous son. Under the influence of Yogamaya, Nanda Maharaj decided to engage his beloved son Krishna in tending the cows. Nanda and Yashoda forever exist as the unparalleled examples of transcendental parental love. Hearing that her husband considered engaging her tender son in such demanding work, Yashoda protested, "How could you ask your son, who is sitting on his mother's breast, to accept such a painful engagement?" Then, that wonderfully splendid boy who displays a sweet variety of enchanting pastimes spoke to his mother. "Mother, do not interfere with my cherished desire to tend the cows. I will not listen to your words or consider your feelings regarding this." Impatient, due to his childish nature, Krishna continued, "Mother, please give me permission. My friends and I will experience great fun in tending the cows. Is there anyone in this world who would not enjoy such work?" Hearing Krishna's words, Mother Yashoda kept quiet and gave up her attempt to stop him. Brajaraj Nanda was surprised by his wife's sudden silence regarding this matter. Then he chose an auspicious day for Krishna to take out the cows. That day, Balaram and all the coward boys met in the Goshala. After selecting some calves for Krishna, Nanda Maharaj handed him a red stick for controlling them. Seeing his mother and father following him into the forest, Krishna asked them to return home. He said, "We are experienced in tending calves. Do not worry about us." His parents said, "All right, but for today, do not wander far with the calves and come home soon." After preventing Nanda and Yashoda from going any further, Krishna, Balaram, and the other boys showed their expertise in tending the calves. Krishna's ecstasy grew day by day as he joyfully tended the calves. Krishna wandered about, and he covered Vrindavan with the shama blue color of his bodily effulgence, which shone more brilliantly than a cluster of blue lotus flowers. From all directions in the heavens, the demigods watching Krishna's wonderful pastimes with the calves fell in conscious and boundless joy. Both the celestials and the Brajabasis enjoyed the fun. The astonishing pastimes of Krishna and Balaram continually filled their parents with delight. Every day before sunrise, the kind-hearted Yashoda, who knows all moral laws and can purify everyone in the three worlds, tenderly woke up Krishna. After cleansing his mouth, she rubbed Krishna with fragrant oil, bathed him, anointing his eyes with cudgel, smeared his body with sandalwood pulp, dressed him, and decorated him with valuable ornaments. Then she happily fed Krishna many tasty, nourishing foods. Yashoda followed behind Krishna when he went out with the cows. Brimming with parental love, Yashoda said, "Krishna, I will go with you to a particular place and then return home." After a short time, however, Krishna spoke some considerate words to prevent Yashoda from going any further. A splendid flower garland swung on Krishna's chest as he walked with his brother and friends. Every day, they took the calves to a place full of succulent grass. After tasting the fresh green grass, the calves would jump around in jubilation. Krishna passed his days absorbed in various childhood pastimes with his calves and friends. Every morning, Yashoda prepared delicious food for Krishna and sent it out to the forest. That food parcel contained enjoyable items that could be licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. The preparations were also warm and appealing. Upon receiving it, Krishna, Haladar, and the coward boy sat down in a circle and ate the food while laughing and joking. After eating, they continued tending the cows. The ankle bells of Krishna filled the forest with captivating sounds, and the touch of his tender lotus feet stimulated the heart of Mother Earth. In the late afternoon, Krishna returned from the pastures with the boys and calves. Yashoda, the wife of the crest jewel of Vrindavan, eagerly waited to receive her beloved son. Looking toward the forest and listening attentively, she swelled with anticipation over his return. Engaging the household servants in other duties, Mother Yashoda personally did the service of cleansing Krishna's face and limbs when he came home. After feeding him some nourishing foods, she laid Krishna to rest on a jeweled inlaid bedstead. Once upon a time, a demoniac follower of Kamsa, a devout worshipper of Durga, disguised himself as a calf to mix with Krishna's calves. Just as an open well concealed by tall grass waits to trap an unsuspecting bull elephant, this demon pretended to be a friend, though actually he was a thief. Krishna, the crest jewel of omniscience, immediately recognized the Asura imposter and said to Balaram, "Hey, Dalji, does this calf belong to Vrindavan, or is it a man disguised as a calf?" The playmates of Krishna could not determine the calf's identity. With his left hand, which resembled a gentle lotus flower, Krishna caught the demon by the hind legs, whirled him overhead like a firebrand, and smashed him to death in the top of a kapita tree. Assuming a huge, grotesque form, the demon immediately died. Krishna gave Brahman liberation to that demon, who was a great former mystic yogi. Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods appreciated Krishna's effortless act of killing Vatsasura and came to congratulate him. An expert such as Krishna can easily perform impossible tasks, therefore such deeds are not at all astonishing. Krishna, the vanquisher of all demons, looked exceedingly attractive while engaging in his pastimes. The life of the lotus flowers gradually faded away with the diminishing rays of the sun. Seeing the sun slipping behind the dark curtain of the sky, Krishna called his calves and returned home. Although the character and pastimes of Krishna defy comprehension, They perfectly suit his age and charming personality as the beautiful cowherd boy of Vrindavan. When the boys and calves approached the edge of town, their respective mothers happily greeted them. Nanda, Yashoda, and the Vrindavan gopis received Krishna Balaram and their own children with an outpouring of love and affection, but the boys resisted when their mothers tried to pick them up and carry them home. The coward boys excitedly told Yashoda how Krishna sent a big demon to the house of death without even fighting him. As usual, upon arriving home, Krishna was massaged with oil, bathed, anointed with sandalwood pulp, and dressed. Then Krishna ate his evening meal with his father and retired for a pleasurable rest.